Hi, and welcome to Women CEO in Reflection, a podcast dedicated to personal growth and mental health discussions with women CEOs across the globe. It's here where inspired women get candid about what drives them to succeed and the personal challenges they've encountered on their path to success. So if you're a woman on a mission, this is the podcast you don't want to miss. So sit back, relax, and let's get candid. Hi, I'm your host, Marisa Jones. Welcome to the Women CEO in Reflection podcast. I'm joined by my co-host, Neil Haley, today. Our guest is Carrie Gonzalez. As president of MXV Rail, Carrie leads the world's premier rail research organization based in Pueblo, Colorado. She's been with the organization since 2000 and also serves as VP and CFO when the company was known as TTCI. Welcome to the show, Carrie.
Thank you for having me. It's exciting.
So I'm really excited to talk about this because, you know, a railroad is something you don't usually see as, you know, having a woman president. So tell us about your journey and how you came into the role.
Yeah, it's actually an interesting perspective. And it's a little bit of an oddity, railroad and, you know, an engineering firm. Two things that don't traditionally go together with females, but I've had some amazing people in my life that have continued to encourage me to stretch my boundaries. And I've gotten into a position where I get to do something I love and get to lead people. So all good things. I think from a starting point, you know, I was kind of the odd one out in my family. I have a family of teachers and, you know, educators and in blue collar workforce. And I came into the world and said, I want to be an engineer. So, you know, that I think that was the first start of my journey of doing something different. Fortunately for me, I had very supportive parents that really encouraged me to do things that I thought I could do and that I wanted to do. And so they really let me spread my wings and fly into an area that was really unknown for the entirety of my family. And then I just, again, just kept meeting wonderful people that encouraged me and helped me along with my journey. I had some great mentors, and in my organization kind of grew into different areas and got to experience a lot of different things and learn skill sets along the way. And, you know, an opportunity came up about this time last year to be able to move into this role. And it's been an adventure ever since.
That's great. I love to hear that. You know, I spent 30 years in tech and I still work in tech behind the scenes. And you know, when you're in that type of field in the industry, that's a very male dominated industry. There's a few females, but the higher you go up the ladder, there's less and less. What's your organization look like? And do you find you have other females mentors or women that you can speak to within your organization?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, you know, our organization in total is about 300 people. Of those, I would say about 150 are engineers. And then we have, you know, we have accountants and human resources, and we also have a big operational staff. So we have locomotive engineers and car repairmen, track workers. So we have a very diverse population in our organization. And I think even thinking back to when I started, there's always been a very good push from our leadership to diversify leadership. And it makes it challenging when you think about the demands of not only being in a technical field, but also, you know, as we grow and learn and wanting to experience other things in our personal lives, it creates a little bit of challenges. But our organization has always been very fostering of, you know, working moms, right? I had a fantastic engineering manager that when I had my first baby, I worked at home and this was before working at home was a thing. I worked at home for probably 6 to 8 months, and my organization really helped to make sure that I had the appropriate workload and that I wasn't getting left behind with my colleagues, continuing to challenge me. And I think a lot of those things have really helped the growth and diversity in our organization. And right now I'm proud to say that at least three of my top seven people in our organization are female. And it's exciting to help carry on that tradition.
Define what you define leadership for me. How would you define leadership?
My perspective on leadership is really getting people to believe that they can surpass the boundaries that they set for themselves, right? Achieve more. And so I always take that perspective when I'm thinking about how I'm interacting with people, that says, everybody kind of sets these thresholds for themselves and believing in them and demonstrating to them that they can get past that and contribute in ways they never thought they could is really where I would say leadership lies.
I love that. And, you know, you talk about your journey of being out, you know, different from your family, because I grew up with Sicilian immigrant parents and I was only supposed to get married and have babies. And, you know, my aspiration was to be a secretary. I learned shorthand. I learned all of that. And then once what you're saying is like, I thought that was like the highest thing I could achieve. That was my highest potential. That was outside of my box until I realized, oh, there's this whole thing about computers and I can learn to program. And, you know, I went down, it took me down this whole thing, but it's not there, right? So I love that you're bringing awareness to women as well, to know that they can bring so much value. You know, I truly believe everyone is a leader, regardless of what role you're in an organization.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's one thing that people need to recognize, especially in technical fields, that just because you're not leading people doesn't mean that you're not a leader, right? You know, some of the highest value people that we have in our organization have this high level of subject matter expertise that they can share, whether it be, you know, my 30-year veteran that's training and mentoring a new one of our new employees. I think everybody leads in their own way, and we need to highlight and celebrate those successes when they achieve those.
So what do you think some of the personal kind of growth achievements have you had to overcome, or have you had to learn some of the things you learned about yourself being in such a male dominated industry, being in a railroad industry, which is also very unique, and it's not like you can Google about it, you know, too much. So what are some of the challenges you had, and how'd you grow from those?
So I think one of the biggest challenges that I've had is, and I know this is not a word, but it's a carry word, it's peopling. and so, you know, being an engineer, my tendency is not to be very interactive and empathetic. And I remember my mom used to tell me, she's like, man, I really wish I can get you to be like, feel where people are at instead of just focusing on the goal. So I think that's been a really big growth area for me. And again, I've had some great people that helped to keep me in that right frame of mind. I think one of the best things that I did early on stepping into this role was finding an executive coach that can help me through some of those pieces and highlight some of those areas where I needed some capacity for growth, but also really leaning into the strengths that I do have as a leader to be able to create that balance and not feel like I'm always failing, right? I'm a person of very high expectations, and not only of myself, but of everybody I'm working with. And so I think one of the things that I need to consistently remind myself is that this is a growth area, and there's a lot going on, and you can't beat yourself up too much. And when you do get down, where are those people that you can talk to help, you know, give you that little pep talk to say, all right, you may have failed here, but that doesn't mean we stay down. We get back up and figure out how we move it forward.
How are you? Yeah. So I was going to say, how are you able to kind of define your performance all the time for yourself, especially when you have a team that you have to rely on so much to really look at your performance each and every day and reflect on how you grow?
Right. And I would say that that's been a shift for me too. As an engineer project manager, it's really easy to gauge your performance because you have on-time deliverables and reports. Now we're talking about reframing your successes in terms of some of that we talked about in terms of leadership, right? And I'm highly dependent on every single person in my organization to really understand and execute our vision on a day-to-day basis. So to me, those are the better key performance indicators of how are we working, right? How are we changing and adapting to the environment that we have? So one of the big wins that I've seen, you know, over the last couple of years that everybody's been dealing with is turnover, and how are we working in this hybrid environment? From my perspective, our team has done a fantastic job of adjusting to that and performing through it. And so a lot of that has to do with every single one of our team members really embracing the fact that there's value in everything that our people are doing and really rewarding that. So again, we can sit here and say financial performance, all of these things that are generic in nature for every business. I try to focus more on how our people are working, how they're feeling, and really the attitude that they're coming through, and are they passionate about what we do? We are an organization that is fortunate to have this inherent purpose in what we do in making the railroad industry better. And the more people I have believing that, the better, you know, I think my successes are and our better contributions to the industry.
Yeah, those are the intangible benefits, right? The intangible wins that you can't really measure, but they say a lot about an organization. So what are some of the things you do? You know, you mentioned being a mom before we got on the call. You talked about your kids out in the pool with an adult. what do you do as a mom? You know, being president of a big corporation and you're a mom. How do you balance both of those? And how do you balance more from a personal self-care perspective? Because we always put ourselves last, right? So what are some of the things you do to make sure put yourself first?
I think one of the first things that I did was shift my mindset from balance to integration, because we are living in such a dynamic world that I find balance is an unrealistic expectation that we put, you know, that I have to be here and I have to be here. So I try and do a little bit of everything. And really it's prioritizing those important things. And, you know, I'll give you an example. I was traveling for work in the last couple of weeks, and it's been hard, right? You have a 12 and a 13-year-old trying to keep up with all of their activities and everything else. But I think that the biggest thing is that my son had a baseball tournament in Omaha, and I made sure that I could accommodate that baseball tournament because that's important, right? It's a travel tournament. There's like 97 teams. Be there for those big moments. And don't beat yourself up for not being there for the small moments. Like my daughter was going to dance class every day. And, you know, normally I'm the one that's mommy Uber back and forth to take her. But, you know, I had a responsibility that I needed to be out of town. And so I figured out how to rely on my network and mostly my family to be able to help accommodate that, but be there for the big moments. And that means be there for the big moments at work and be there big moments for your family. But don't beat yourself up when you miss a thing or two, because you'll be sad constantly.
Right. And balance it. I like the way you said that, because it's balance does manage. It's like juggling, right? You're trying to really hold something steady. Whereas, you know, you have to create a lifestyle that creates time within your schedule to accommodate for all the things that you want to do. And that's really most important. That's where people stress out. It's like, well, if I multitask, I can get more done. But is it, you know, what's the quality behind that? And what's the, you know, what's the, how good did you accomplish what you were trying to do in that time period? So looking for that integration is so important, because you're just kind of flowing through your day. If you can create a really good flow through your day, that includes family and self-care and working and, you know, passion projects and all the things that you want to do within that integration, you find you have a really good flow in your step when you're moving forward through life.
Yeah. And I think the other piece of it too is boundaries. I've been getting better. I'm not great at it. but setting boundaries even with my family, right? So, you know, I've made a choice that working out is a big piece of my mental and physical health. I wake up at 4:30 in the morning so that I could get a 5 a.m. gym session in 6 days a week. but there's also Sundays where my family knows that, you know, between about 2 and 4 p.m. on Sundays, mom is going to be getting her day or getting ready for her week ahead, right? So there's set aside work time. And so you really start planning around those things when you communicate and just be honest with yourself that says, you know what, I need 2 hours on a Sunday to make sure I'm prepared for my week and I don't feel scattered. Communicating that to, you know, your staff and saying, hey, I might be sending you emails from 2 to 4 on Sundays, but please don't worry about those until Monday, right? Just being honest about your work styles and setting up the expectations with the people around you really helps to keep that integration and that fluidity moving throughout your life.
You know, the boundaries, communication piece is key. And you nailed it when you said that, because people create boundaries. First, they don't know why they're really creating them, but they create boundaries and they don't communicate what those are effectively. They might just kind of say, here's my boundary, so you can't cross it. But but they're not really showing, you know, explaining, they're not communicating why, right? They're not setting the expectations behind the boundary, and they're not setting the value behind that boundary. And that's two key pieces that I find, you know, makes boundaries work, is what's the value of why you're creating that boundary and what you're going to get out of it. And then what's the expectation for all those people around you and yourself to keep that. And so I love that you said that.
I think there's a third thing in there is staying within your boundaries, right?
Yes.
I feel like we're totally, this is what it's going to be. And then, you know, 2 weeks later, I'm doing something inside of those. And it's like, well, if you're going to break your boundaries, then why should everybody else respect them too? So I think
exactly
making that commitment to say, this is what I'm going to do and following through with that is a very big deal to make it successful.
Right, because you're honoring yourself when you hold on to your boundaries. You absolutely are. And when you break them, you're breaking your promise to yourself and commitments to yourself. And you're also impacting all the people around you. I like to call the boundaries rules for life. They're my rules for life, you know, because then you can follow. It's easy to follow a rule. And it just makes it so much easier. And, you know, when you're making a decision, it's like, oh, what's my boundary? Do I, you know, Can I stick to it? Can I make a decision? It makes everything in your life go smoother and creates that smooth integration.
Yep, absolutely.
So what advice would you give to someone else who's trying to follow a path similar to yours?
Fasten your seatbelt and enjoy the ride. I think as a young person entering the workforce, I really had a lot of expectations coming into it and drive. I've always been a very driven person. But I think a lot of the time I was trying to look to that next step rather than enjoying the process. And I think one of the experiences in my life that has kind of taught me a lot more about that, I decided randomly that I was going to do a bodybuilding competition. Yeah.
That's a big attempt. That's a big goal.
It was right. But it really taught me to have patience and really enjoy every piece of the experience, because there are days when you're hungry and there's just so many things going on in your mind. But rather than, you know, saying, well, what's the next step? What's the next step? Really like being in it and enjoying and saying, hey, I'm doing this and I did this and really enjoying those little victories, even if it was, you know, I didn't eat that gummy bear I wanted. It's really celebrating the small successes, being in the moment. And if you keep grinding, you're going to get where you want to be. And it's where you're supposed to be, right? Sometimes we rush through the process and we end up where we thought we wanted to be. And then we get there and we're like, well, you know, this didn't turn out like I expected it to. So really taking it all in as you're going through your journey and being thoughtful about the next step and when that next step is appropriate, I think is something that I would highly recommend to everybody, because I didn't do it early on in my career, right? It's like, how can I advance? And I think, you know, I may have spent a bit more time in some of the roles that I was in, get a little bit more experience if I could do it again.
Yeah, that's really good advice. Yeah, I think many of us do it. You know, I've done it. A lot of my clients, they wake up one day and go, I've achieved it all, but I'm just not happy. I don't know what I want in life. And it's because you're so programmed to be, you know, to get to the end game, right? But if you live every day intentionally for what makes you happy every day, the end doesn't really matter. It's you know, like they say, it's the journey that gets you there, right? That's more important than the end game.
Absolutely.
That's great. I think we're running out of time. Do you, where can people find you?
Let's see. I have LinkedIn and Instagram. I think LinkedIn, you could probably find me easiest through our company site, MXV Rail. But I am Carrie Gonzalez on LinkedIn. And I think Carrie Gonzalez 20 on Instagram. So Instagram is new to me. I'm still working on that situation. I'm much more accustomed to LinkedIn, but we're doing some exciting things in our organization. I always like to make a pitch for more people to get interested in rail, because it's a fascinating industry and we'd love to see some fresh faces in there.
You know, I did want to ask, I'm glad you brought that up. What's the coolest thing that your company has coming up that maybe you could share?
Ooh, that's a tough one because we do a lot of proprietary testing. So there's a lot of cool stuff that's going on that I can't tell you about. but right now, you know, some of the safety improvements that are going on with positive train control and an extension of that in automated train operations. It doesn't mean that there's not going to be anybody in the cab, but just being really able to take advantage of some technology to make things a bit more efficient. I think those are some of the great things that are coming our way in the US. I got to see some great things. I was in Europe a couple of weeks ago, lots of cool things on the decarbonization front, which is near and dear to my heart. So fun stuff going on in rail. It is no longer your grandfather's steam locomotive. Like there's a lot that's been done over the last 100 years.
That's so cool. Well, thank you, Carrie, for being on the show. It's been a real pleasure. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to Women CEO in Reflection. To reach out to one of our guests, their contact is in the description of the show. Do you want a total mindset transformation? Apply to Mindset Warrior, The Art of Intentional Thinking, my personal coaching bootcamp at iamamindsetwarrior.com and schedule your call with me today. Thank you.